You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Harper government is marking October as Women's History Month by declaring it will celebrate women in the Canadian military. That seems consistent with their overall intention of militarizing Canadian society. Nor should it be surprising that the woman president of the Vancouver and District Labour Council, the VDLC, intends to mark Women's History Month with a public discussion of women's contributions to the strengthening of the labour movement. Joey Hartman, president of the VDLC, joins me in the studio this morning to share her thoughts precisely on this theme. Welcome back to Co-op Radio and Red Eye.
Thank you.
Has there been a woman president of the VDLC before, or are you the first?
No, I'm the first woman president in our 122-year history.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
At an executive meeting of the VDLC, when you look around, what percentage of the delegates are women?
Actually, just over half. We have, in this last election in February, was the first time that the majority of the executive is women.
Mm-hmm.
And an emphasis, I will say, on young women.
Mm-hmm. Is this union and leadership participation mainly characteristic of public sector unions where more women work?
I would say that to a large degree, you'll look at public sector unions as where women have risen to leadership positions. So people like Judy Darcy for QP, Nicole Timon for Public Service Alliance of Canada as national presidents. Deborah Burke for the postal workers was a number of years the national president, but not exclusively. I also think of people like Michelle Laurie, who's the president of one of the electrical worker unions.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking back at the women activists in the labor movement, what are the qualities that attract and inspire you?
Tenacity, stick-to-itiveness, I guess, and I think a sense of social justice and the need to work collectively to move forward.
Okay, well, let's look at a few of those women labor activists. Can you tell us about a few of the activists who manifest these qualities and whose efforts you would like us to know better?
Right. Well, this is going to be a historical talk that I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the people who would jump out for me are Helena Gutteridge, who in 1930s was a founder of the BC Women's Suffrage League, which was fighting for the right for women to have the vote. But she was also secretary-treasurer of the Vancouver Trades and Labour Congress, which has since evolved into the VDLC. And in 1937, she was elected as the first woman on Vancouver City Council. But I also think of women who, in the wartime effort, went into non-traditional jobs for women. So Johnny Rankin, who worked in the Burrard shipyards, Betty Griffin, who worked for Boeing. And they were also not just women who did the sort of classic Rosie the Riveter, but they were also leaders in their unions. Helen O'Shaughnessy from the Fishermen's Union was a key activist and very prominent in the struggle for equal pay for shore workers. So the fish packers were predominantly women in the 70s. And then people like Grace Hartman, who was the first woman leader of QP National and a real trailblazer for women's rights. And she went to jail, actually, for 45 days in 1981, having defied an Ontario Supreme Court back-to-work order for striking hospital workers.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few.
Mm-hmm. Any more recent examples?
Well, the ones I mentioned already, people like Judy Darcy, Nicole Turmel, Deborah Burke, those are the women who inspired me.
And where could we read about, where could people read about these women labor activists?
Actually, there's a lot of sources, but I usually Google. You know, I just find that if I put in somebody's name and the union, I can usually find a good history piece.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the differences among labor movement activists in the way women and men behave?
My sense is that women tend to be more collaborative and less emphasis on turf building and making sure that we're really working on the same issues and not worrying so much about who gets credit for the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because of this, do you think women leadership could be more effective than men in bringing the union movement and diverse social movements into common struggles?
Well, those qualities are certainly important in terms of doing outreach and making sure that we don't make the trade union movement seem exclusive. And so the sense of working collaboratively, I think, is really key for that. So I don't think that the labor movement is restricted to people who hold a union card. And I'm always willing to work with people who share the same values.
Mm-hmm. And do you see the labor movement growing, as we move ahead?
Well, things like Occupy Vancouver, I think, could be a pivotal point. The labor movement has not been growing. It's been getting pushed back, and it's been shrinking. And particularly, women are now the majority of the workforce, and that's not because women's participation has grown remarkably in recent years. It's because men have been losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. So the resource industry jobs and the things like the auto, where the jobs have gone offshore. So the need to move forward, yeah, it's really, I think, a moment in time where people could see the labor movement as a vehicle for social change, which I strongly believe it is, and be more interested in joining unions for collective action.
You mentioned Occupy Vancouver. Do you have any comments or what are your thoughts on the participation of the labor movement in the Occupy Wall Street as mm-hmm. well as the upcoming Occupy Vancouver? Is it upcoming? I guess it's already started.
It's happening as we speak. I'm very encouraged by it. I think that the labor movement has been too cautious and stayed away from stuff like that. And I think one of the concerns I hear is that we will wear it if some of the property destruction does occur. And if the police respond to that, as I would expect they would. And so I think that people have been a little nervous about that, but my position is that the more of us who are there to protest peacefully, that we can help to influence how other people might behave, and also that it's really important not to be scared away by that. You know, the media is really... I've had several media interviews where that they've really pushed that and said, you know, well, what about this bad behavior? And it's like, I don't take ownership for that. I'm there as a trade unionist to stand up for trade union principles, and so are so many of those other people. You know, they may or may not be union members. Most of them aren't, especially young people, because they don't get a chance to get into unionized jobs very easily. But we sure have a lot in common, and so we should not shy away from it.
Any areas where you see, do you think the union trade union movement might grow into? That doesn't have a presence right now.
Well, the service industry has sure been a hard nut to crack. You know, we have organized McDonald's and lost those certifications. The Walmarts, the big stores, the Starbucks. You know, it's those employers really don't want us there, and there's a reason they don't want us there. It's not so much about the dollar. People know what the wage is when they apply for a job. What they don't know is how they're going to be treated. And when people's dignity is not respected and that they're just treated badly as workers or they see an injustice, that's when they come and ask the union to come and organize them.
Returning back to the role of women, what important obstacles still face women who want to be activists?
Right. I would say that there's still a lot of women doing double and triple duty. The labor movement itself, I find very encouraging now of women. It wasn't always that way, but I do find it is now. And I'm always respected as an equal in all of the labor environments that I'm in. But I do think that for a lot of women I know, they're especially low-wage women, you know, they're working two jobs, two full-time jobs, and you know, they don't even have time to see their kids, so they're sure not going to be able to make time for a union meeting and getting active there. So particularly low-waged women and women who are also holding most of the responsibility for maintaining the home life.
Right, it's a kind of catch-22. You work so much that you don't have time for other activities like organizing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Joy, for joining us today.
Okay. I appreciate it very much.
I've been speaking with Joy Hartman, president of the Vancouver and District Labor Council. Joy Hartman will be speaking Thursday evening, October 27th, at the Rhizome Cafe, 317 East Broadway, right at Kingsway. The presentation discussion runs from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's titled Bread and Roses, The History of Women in the Labor Movement. People are encouraged to come earlier, have supper at the Rhizome, and stay for the presentation and discussion.